We're in Acts chapter 24, really kind of heading down the home stretch in our study through the book of Acts. It's been good, been really enjoying it, and I think for most of you it's been good too, because we've got to see how the Lord has worked through the church to bring the gospel to the whole world. And in the process, I think we've been encouraged to do our part in sharing the gospel with those around us. So this morning we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 24, just the last few verses, beginning at verse 22 and then going to the end of the chapter, verse 27. But as you're turning there and getting set, let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time together. Father, what a privilege to come to your word and to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it, Lord. And Lord, as always, we know that in your word we find what we need for salvation as well as for living our lives for you. So I pray this morning that your Spirit would speak to our hearts and that you, Lord, would change us, that the things that are said would not pass over our heads, but would go into our minds and sink deep into our hearts, so that, Lord, we might know you better, might know, Father, your desires for us. You, Lord, would be exalted in our lives. So we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, a little over a year ago, an article in USA Today featured a story with the following headline: Almost Millionaire Missed Lottery Win by 7 seconds. The article went on to say, 7 seconds separated one Canadian man from being a millionaire. Joel Eifergen claims he bought 2 lottery tickets 1 minute before the draw cutoff for a $27 million jackpot on May 23rd. One ticket was printed off with the May 23rd date, but the second ticket had the date for the following week's draw on May 30th. As luck, or bad luck, it turns out, would have it, the ticket with the May 30th date had the winning numbers for the May 23rd draw. Because Mr. Eifergen had the wrong date on the ticket, another winner claimed the entire jackpot. Man, you know, I read that and I thought, oh man, that would have to hurt, wouldn't it? I mean, 7 seconds, just 7 seconds separated him from being a millionaire. I mean, I think we can all relate. We kind of feel his pain. But as tragic, perhaps, as something like that might be, it's not nearly as tragic as missing out on something immensely more valuable, and that is God's priceless gift of salvation. You know, Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 8. He said, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his own soul?" A person can have it all. They can have riches. They can have a good family. They can leave a legacy. They can have influence. They can have fame. They can have it all and still miss out on having eternal life. And that's exactly what we're going to see happen with Felix in our passage this morning. Felix, the Roman governor, who was presiding over the trial of the Apostle Paul. Because here we see a tragedy of epic proportions, because Felix was a man who had it all. He had the power. He had influence. He had money. He had a beautiful wife. He was even privileged to talk with the Apostle Paul one-on-one. Yet he ended up rejecting Jesus because he just didn't see the value of it. And so this story of these two men and their incredibly interesting interaction is, I believe, instructive for us. Because we're going to see that the way someone shares the gospel, I think, is vitally important. The Apostle Paul is going to speak with Felix. And how he does that is going to be instructive for us. But at the same time, we're also going to see that a person's response to the gospel, a person's response to the gospel is even more crucial. So, Paul, you'll remember from last week, is on trial before Governor Felix. Alongside of him was his wife, Drusilla. And really, an interesting kind of background on this particular couple. Felix, we talked about last week a little bit, began his life as a slave. His brother was a friend of the Roman Emperor Claudius, so he was able to gain his freedom while he was a young man. And he was astute politically, a shrewd guy, a little bit underhanded, and so he was able to kind of manipulate his way up through the corridors of power. Eventually, he became governor over the territory of Judea. As a person, though, he was consumed with making something of himself. And so to that end, he was neither compassionate nor merciful. He did what he had to do in order to get ahead. The historian Tacitus said, he was a guy who practiced every kind of cruelty and lust. He exercised royal power with the instincts of a slave. And it's true, because from history we know that any insurrection he met with fierce power. He absolutely destroyed much of the Jewish population. So Felix was not a good guy. And he wound up being married three times. His second wife, the one that's mentioned here in Acts chapter 24, was named Drusilla. She was the youngest of the three daughters of Herod Antipas. When she was about 15 years of age, her brother, Agrippa II, gave her in marriage to the king of Emesa, a petty state in Syria. But then at the age of 16, she met Felix and she became infatuated with him. She fell in love with him. And so Felix, with the help of a magician, persuaded her to leave her husband and to marry him. And of course, this young woman, being drawn in by Felix, thought this is the greatest thing in the world, because she didn't care about Felix's past. She didn't care about his character. All she was concerned with was living a life of grandeur. So it seems that the relationship between the two was focused on greed, lust, and power. And so this is the couple that is presiding over the trial of the Apostle Paul. Now, again, remember, the Apostle Paul is on trial mainly because the Sanhedrin, the special Jewish body that ruled the land, they were upset with Paul. In fact, they were so upset they wanted to kill him. They tried to kill him when he was in Jerusalem, but that didn't work out. So Paul ended up being transferred to Caesarea. And so he was on trial there. And the Jews just couldn't stand Paul because of his theology. You know, they didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't want Paul dragging away disciples after him. So they accused Paul of many things. And so Paul's on trial there, and he presents his case. Paul presents his defense, if you would. Of course, the Sanhedrin, they gave their, you know, little spiel about why they believe Paul deserved to be executed. But Felix was a sharp guy, and he realizes, hey, these guys just want to get rid of Paul because they don't agree with his theology. There's no reason why Rome needs to execute this guy. He's done nothing wrong. Felix realized Paul was not a threat to the Roman dynasty. So, things are winding down in the courtroom. We pick up at verse 22. It says, then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Now, it's interesting here that there's no indication Felix really needed to hear anything more from Lysias, the commander. There's no evidence that he really sent for him either, because Felix knew that the Jews had another motive, and he realized that they wanted Paul executed, but Felix knew he couldn't do that. He couldn't execute Paul. There was really no justification for it, but he needed to keep the Jews happy, so he decides, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to put him in prison, let him hang out there for a while. Now, what happens next is interesting, because you would expect that a guy like Felix wouldn't want to have anything to do with the Apostle Paul. I mean, you figure Felix would just kind of go back to doing what he always did, living, you know, the high life. But look what it says in verse 24. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and listened to him. Now, let's just stop right there. Now, why in the world would he do that? This pagan ruler and this non-practicing Jewish woman, his wife, I wonder why they wanted to listen to Paul. Could it be that maybe they were both curious about the gospel that they had heard so much about, but really had never delved in and examined? You see, both of them were actually acquainted with Christianity. Obviously, Felix knew about it because he had resided in Judea for at least 10 years, so he knew what was happening. And Drusilla, Christianity was part of her family history. Her great-grandfather Herod tried to kill Jesus in Bethlehem. You remember that? Her great-uncle Herod Antipas killed John the Baptist and mocked Jesus. And her father was the one that killed the apostle James and almost, you remember, killed the apostle Peter. So both of them knew about Christianity, and maybe they were wondering about the gospel, and here was one of the foremost preachers of the gospel in prison. Of course, it may not have been curiosity at all. It could have been just motivated by greed, because as we'll see, there's the possibility that they wanted to meet with Paul just to try and get money out of him. But I believe, really, that they both still had some qualms of conscience, if you would. They knew that they had been living a lifestyle that was immoral, that was unrighteous. So I think they see this as an opportunity to hear what Paul has to say. And Paul is going to do it. I mean, what does Paul love to do? He loves to talk about Jesus. So we're going to learn from Paul how to share the gospel, and then we're going to learn from Felix how not to respond to the gospel. So pick it up in verse 24, the last part. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. And as Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find a more convenient time, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Wow. What a sad ending to this little story. Felix leaves office having rejected Jesus. Paul is stuck in prison. Seems like neither one benefited. But yet we know that Paul was taken care of by God. He was in God's will. He knew that he was where God wanted him to be. He had had the opportunity to share the gospel with Felix. He did what the Lord wanted him to do, regardless of where he was at. So he shares the gospel. So what can we learn from Paul about how to share the gospel? Well, number one, something very simple. Be willing and able to talk. Be willing and able to talk about the gospel. Especially when the Lord opens a door. I mean, Paul is where? He's in prison. Got some visitors coming in and out. And then it seems that Felix wants to hear the gospel. And so Paul is there in prison. The Lord brings Felix to Paul, and Paul begins to share about Jesus. It says he spoke to him. He talked to him. The better translation of that word there is reasoned. That is, he dialogued with Felix and perhaps Drusilla, and he explained the gospel and answered their questions. And I think really that that's kind of the approach that you and I need to have when we have the opportunity. When the Lord opens up an opportunity for you, and I don't know where you're at or what's going on in your life, but oftentimes the Lord will bring someone into your sphere of influence, into your workspace, into your family. And he opens up a door for you to dialogue, to speak, to reason with them. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the Lord says, "Come, let us reason together," says the Lord. It's about being patient with somebody, about being with them, being engaged with them. It's not about, you know, when you're talking with somebody, isn't this kind of annoying, you know, you go to talk with somebody, and they're kind of like looking over your shoulder going, yeah, I know, and they're kind of, you know, their mind's somewhere else. Isn't that kind of annoying? Yeah, it is. And so it's about being engaged with people, being conversational, understanding them, putting yourself in their place. I think that can be so challenging in today's culture. It seems that more and more people are doing what? They just kind of talk past each other. They want to get their point across because that their point is the right point. And if you disagree with that, then man, you know, you're dead meat to them. You're not good. Not so when we share the gospel. When you're sharing the gospel, your attitude, your demeanor carries as much weight as the message you're communicating. You have to understand that. It's not just the content of your words. It's your attitude, your demeanor. I remember reading an article recently about a Christian woman who was at her workspace and there was a TV up and there were a bunch of the people were in the room there, and she knew that she was a Christian woman. There were a number of people in the room that were in same-sex relationships. And the news happened to be about when the Supreme Court decided that gay marriage would be the law of the land. And one of the lesbian women looked at her and said, "So what do you think about that?" Knowing this lady was a Christian. Now, what's a woman going to say, or what's a person going to say in that situation? And I thought her response was classic. It was right on. She said, "You know, I think everyone deserves to be treated equally. No one should be derived of their civil rights." And what she did, and what by saying that, she surprised her colleague. But more importantly, she left the door open for a future dialogue with her. You see? Because so often, you and I as Christians can just kind of go into defense mode and go, well, that's wrong. And immediately what happens is you shut down a person. You absolutely shut the door on them ever, ever considering the grace of God, the power of the gospel in their lives. So when the time is right, you talk to someone. You dialogue with them. And then they'll be open to the gospel. They may not accept the Lord right then, but they're open. And you give them the gospel. You give them the simple gospel. You don't change it. You don't massage it to say, God's got a great plan for your life and He's going to, do all these cool things for you. No, you just give them the simple gospel. That's what Paul did. He didn't water it down. He didn't change the message just because he was speaking to a man who had the power of life and death in his hands. He could have let Paul go. He could have executed him. Paul gave the gospel. Paul, it says, spoke about faith in Christ. So I'm sure what he did was he spoke about the life, death, burial of Jesus. He was pointing him to Jesus. How that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. That he was the Messiah, the one that Israel longed for. Not only that, he was the one that came to die for the sins of the world. To die for those who were unrighteous. To give them hope. It was available to all who believe. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the message that Paul preached. And there's no other message than that. And we as believers need to be willing to share it. A lot of times we're not. It's like we avoid it. Even when God opens the door of opportunity. And I'm as guilty as the next person of that. And so my prayer is that you and I would just take the bull by the horns, and when that opportunity presents itself, that you'd say something about the glory of God, the joy of knowing Jesus, and then let the Lord do the rest. We need to be willing to share it. But if you're willing, then you need to know the gospel too, don't you? And the gospel is so simple, isn't it? You know John 3:16, that's the gospel. You know the basics. God is holy, righteous. We're sinners, right? By birth and by our actions. That God sent Jesus into the world, so what? So that he could die for our sins, take our place so that we won't be punished? What we celebrated communion about this morning. That's very simple, very basic. That's what I love about the Lord is God didn't make it complicated. He doesn't make it complicated to come to faith in him, and he also doesn't make it complicated to share. But if you get in a jam, get on your cell phone, call me. I'll talk to somebody, whoever, You say, hey, man, you know what? I really don't know how to answer this thing. Let me call Pastor Dave. You can do that. Or you can call Tom. Either one of us. It works. So be willing and able to talk. But number two, tailor your presentation. You see, Paul took into account who he was speaking to. He was speaking to Felix and Drusilla. He knew something of their history. He knew of their past. And so he tailored his presentation of the gospel in a way that would speak to their hearts. And I sometimes think that we don't do that just right. We forget that we're talking to a person. we're talking to somebody who has a personality, who has likes, dislikes, a particular view on things, and we just think, gosh, you know, I just got to get my thing across. I got to hit these points. You know, you're a sinner. Jesus died for you, and you can accept him, and you're going to be all right. And we get these things in the back of our minds. Now, we got to be careful with that, because if we just focus on the message, then we're going to miss the person. The message never changes, but again, how you communicate that message does make a difference. If you want to communicate, because you want to communicate in a way that a person is going to be able to say, yeah, you know, your message resonates with me. So when you're talking with somebody and you find that maybe they've been hurt in a relationship, that is going to tailor the way that you present the gospel to them. Or someone comes to you and says, man, you know, my life is all messed up. I just don't see the value in living. My life is meaningless. Okay, you're going to change the way you present the gospel to them. Somebody's deep in sin. Yeah, you know what? You're gonna present the gospel in a little different way. It makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you take into consideration the person you're talking to. I know Amazon likes to do that with me. I don't know about you. Have you noticed that? The other day I decided, man, you know, I need a new pair of shorts. So I click on Amazon and, you know, look through a few things. And, forget that. You know, later on in the day, I'm on look doing thing, and there's pops up this, you know, hey, look at these shorts over here. And you can see on the site, I'm done with that. I don't want to, you know, it just follows you around. That's targeted marketing. They know what my interests are at that particular time. So, hey, that guy may still be looking at it. What I don't like is, you know, 2 months later, it's still, you know, I already bought shorts. I don't want those, any, you know. So Paul zeroes in on the things that matter to Felix and Drusilla. He talks about righteousness, self-control, and judgments. Righteousness. I'm sure he hit on the fact that God is holy. God is righteous. He's perfect in all his ways. And because we're his children, God wants us to live righteous lives. He wants us to do things the right way. He wants us not, he doesn't want us to sin. He doesn't want us pursuing that which is evil. Our lives are to be characterized by righteous behavior, not unrighteous behavior. And the neat thing is that if you and I are willing to obey the Lord and follow his instruction and live righteous lives, then guess what? We find that our lives are much better for that. Have you noticed that? Conversely, if you end up pursuing unrighteousness, then you heap on yourself sorrow. You need to do the right thing. Now, of course, this would have touched a nerve, I think, with Felix, because, as I mentioned previously, here's a guy that had slaughtered thousands of innocent Jews over his life. He lived immorally. And I think it was his conscience was beginning to be pricked. Righteousness, self-control. Paul was stressing the importance of self-control here. Of living a disciplined life. You know, I think all of us can kind of relate to this, because we all face challenges, don't we, of living a disciplined life. And, you know, it's so neat when you feel like you have some self-control, whether it's over the food you're eating or your exercise or, you know, just your finances, whatever it might be. When you got things going on, when things, you got it under control, you're going, like, man, things are so much better. But when you lose it, oh, man, you know, just went off my diet, man. I ate 6 donuts. I just totally binged, you know. I'm just, you know, and then I feel terrible. And self-discipline is so crucial, especially in the area of morality. If you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, man, it weighs you down. It keeps you from doing what the Lord wants you. It keeps you from experiencing the joy in your life. And again, I think Felix and Drusilla were getting uncomfortable because they had no self-control. All they were interested in was satisfying their flesh, living high on the hog, doing whatever they wanted to do. Self-control, that's, you know, for people who don't have money or power. Then Paul spoke about coming judgment, that there's a day of judgment coming. You know, so often people think, man, you know, I can get away with anything. And oftentimes it seems like they do. They get away with murder, they might get away with robbery, an illicit affair, embezzlement, whatever it might be. They get away with it. But someday that person will stand before God and they will be judged. The Bible speaks of everything being naked and revealed, of God opening up the book of our life. I hate to think about that, you know. I hope it's, you know, God doesn't call you into a room and go, maybe let's plug in this DVD of your life. Let's run through it from birth all the way, second by second. Ooh. God is going to judge. Thankfully, God is patient and merciful and loving. He's also righteous, and he cannot allow sin to go unpunished, which is why he provided the cross, which is the good news, the great news. So Paul is speaking to Felix about these issues, righteousness, speaking self-control, judgment. And I think Paul was doing this because he really did care about this couple, even though he knew about them, even though they were in power. I believe he cared about them. He believed that if they would just put their faith in Christ, that their lives would change, that their sleepless nights, that their conscience that was always troubled, he understood that all of that would disappear if they would just put their faith in Jesus. If they would understand the love that Jesus had for them. And it seems that he's going to get under their skin, as we'll talk about in just a minute. But Paul is pointing them to the gospel. He wants them to accept the Lord. He wants them to follow Jesus. But again, he's doing it in a way that will speak to them. And so when you're talking to somebody, I kind of want to bring this back to this. When you're talking with somebody and you know a little bit about them, you know, usually it's a friend that you've known for a while, you kind of know them, kind of bring it back to them and begin to tailor the gospel message to them. So if someone is doing something they shouldn't, you know, maybe they're stealing, maybe they're cheating on their wife, I don't know. You need to talk to them kind of up front and say, hey guy, you know, I'm concerned, but you are indeed sinning. You know, you're not doing the right thing. So you're gonna come at them perhaps a little harder. If someone's lonely, on the other hand, you're gonna present the gospel in a way that says, hey, Jesus loves you and he is never ever going to leave you or forsake you. He cares so much about you that he died for you. And every time you see the cross, you're reminded of his love for you. So we tailor the gospel to the person. But a third thing I think that we learn from the Apostle Paul here is, don't sweat the outcome. Don't sweat the outcome. Because as far as we know, Felix never, ever committed his life to Christ. We don't read of him saying the sinner's prayer. We don't read of him repenting and changing his life and doing something for the Lord. And so I see here, it's so encouraging to know that even someone like the great Apostle Paul didn't always win people to the Lord. He wasn't always successful. And I don't think Paul ever, you know, started out trying to be successful, at least in the way that we think. All Paul wanted to do was share the word, talk about Jesus. And he did that however he could, wherever he could, whenever he could. And that's all that the Lord asks of you and I, is there's an opportunity, take advantage of it. And if that person doesn't accept the Lord right then, that's okay. You know, your job maybe was just to plant a seed or to water a little bit, as Paul talks about in Corinthians. He understood these things, and we need to understand that as well. In fact, the bulk of our lives are going to be spent just planting seeds, watering here a little bit, putting a little fertilizer there, doing a little bit here. That's what it's going to be about. And then occasionally the Lord will allow you to reap the harvest, to bring someone into the kingdom. Don't sweat the outcome. Just be available. Okay, so Paul has spoken with Felix and Drusilla. He shared the gospel. But we know that they will reject Jesus, even though they'll be convicted, even though they're going to speak with Paul over and over again, they are still going to reject Jesus. Their hearts are hard. And I think for those who have ears to hear, what we see in Felix is really a cautionary tale. It's a warning, if you would, to those who think, man, you know, I can live any way that I want to. And then maybe when I'm getting ready to die, you know, then I'll call out to Jesus and go, hey, Lord, save me, so that I can just kind of get into heaven. No. How not to respond to the gospel? Number one, think that life is all about you. Think that life is all about you. You know this. We live in a culture of narcissism. We're a nation that's obsessed with ourselves. In 2014, the word selfie was named the word of the year. And you know this. I mean, all you have to do is go on Instagram or YouTube or wherever, because people are infatuated with themselves. And our culture seems somehow to glorify that. It's nothing new, because we see it here in Felix. Everything he did, he thought was for himself. You know, how will this thing be to my advantage? How can I work this situation so that it benefits me? Okay, well, I can placate the Jews by leaving Paul in prison. That way they're not going to cause any problems for me. And then he was thinking, well, you know, Paul, he must have some money, man. I mean, this guy's the head of this great movement, and he's got all these people coming and going, and, you know, I bet he's got some money somewhere. So let me go visit him and talk to him, and, you know, I'll act like I'm interested, but, man, maybe he's going to bribe me. Because that was very common in that time. It was not legal, but it happened. You know, hey, you know, let me give you 10 G's and, you know, kind of make me disappear, or I'll leave. That kind of thing. And Felix, I think, was maybe thinking that. Because Felix lived for himself. He lived for power. He lived for money. He lived for influence, for fame. And a life that's consumed with self will absolutely prevent someone from responding positively to the gospel. Because what does that mean? Because in order to embrace the gospel, it means that person has to step off of the throne of their lives, and they have to put God on the throne of their lives. They have to bow down before God and say, Lord, you are God, not me. They have to say, Lord, I will follow you and not my desires, not my wishes for my life. And if a person doesn't understand that, they're not really going to have a conversion. And when things get tough, when difficulties come into their lives, then they're just going to go, gosh, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. And Jesus isn't Lord. Because they're still living with the idea that it's not thy kingdom come, Lord. It's my kingdom come. It's all about me. And I don't want you to take this wrong, but ultimately your life is not about you, your needs, your desires, your dreams. Ultimately, your life is about living for God and other people. It's offering your life as a living sacrifice to the God who loves you and cares for you. And when you know what? When you do that, it's incredible to see what God does in a person's life. Man, He begins to work in ways that are so amazing. He begins to change your thinking. He begins to change your heart, your desires. And the Lord can then use you in ways that you will only know about when you're in eternity. So, if you want to reject the gospel, then just think life is all about you. But a second thing, don't allow yourself to be convicted. Don't allow yourself to be convicted. You see, Felix was afraid. He said, that's enough for now. You may leave. His conscience was softening. He was being convicted. Felix was sensing this message was for him. It was hitting home. This wasn't a discussion about theology or philosophy or what was happening politically. This was about him personally. And God's Spirit was working in his mind and in his heart, and he was afraid. This fear was genuine. He was at the point of being convicted. But he was never willing to go beyond this point. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. Because his greed, his lust for power was what carried the day. And that's why he says in verse 25, that's enough for now, you may leave. In other words, I don't want to hear anything more about this. I don't want to listen to it. It makes me uncomfortable. Felix didn't want to be offended by what the Apostle Paul was saying. You know, it seems that a lot of people are like that these days. They don't want to be offended. Don't tell me that I got a D on my report card. That's offensive to me. That doesn't make me feel good. That's not good. Don't tell me I can't sing. You're damaging my psyche. I'm not going to be any good if you don't understand that I can sing. It's your ears that are the problem. The reality is, though, that sometimes people need to be offended by the truth, because only the truth is going to help you. Only if you know that you got a D are you going to realize that you don't know it, and there are some things that you need to change if you want to be able to get the job or do whatever, pass the class. You got to know these things. We need to be told the truth and to deal with it. But Felix doesn't want to deal with it. He doesn't want to deal with the reality. So he says, when I find it convenient, I will send for you. Meaning, I'm going to postpone considering this until the future, when he feels more in the mood. He's going to procrastinate. I like what Victor Kiam said about procrastination. Procrastination is the assassin of opportunity. Procrastination is the assassination of opportunity. For me, it's a black hole that sucks your life and your future from you. And here's why. And this is Pastor Kent Hughes said this, the error of procrastination is that though we might hear the same truth again, it might not bring conviction again. And we see this with Felix. Because at this point, when he says these words, he's heard the Apostle Paul, he's convicted, but he says, nope, I don't want to deal with it. But what does he do? He continues to call Paul, and he continues to say, hey, I want to talk to you. Now, again, maybe it's just because of money, but it seems that, yeah, his focus shifted from really being concerned about his soul to being one concerned more with money. And so never again do we read about him being convicted. He only trembled one time, but talked with Paul only for the sake of his greed. You see, repetition dulls the potency of truth. That's why people can so often come to church over and over and over again. They can hear the gospel, and they go, yeah, I know all about that. I know Jesus died for my sins. I know there's going to be condemnation. I know there's going to be a judgment. Yeah. That's because their conscience has been hardened. There's no conviction. And that's a sad place to get to. Felix was a man who believed that life was all about him. He was consumed with living for himself, for living for the here and now. So he rejected the promptings of God's Holy Spirit. And though at this time he was judging Paul, he was the judge. There's going to come a time in his life when he's going to stand before the judge of all the universe, God, and give an account of his life. So I think Felix's response here to Paul, his actions here, warn us that you can be close to the gospel and yet not be changed by the gospel. You can be close to the gospel and yet not be changed by the gospel. Whether you're an unbeliever or even a believer. Because you can come to church and you hear the gospel over and over, and it becomes, well, repetitious. And we don't realize what the gospel really means for us. And if we don't realize how important the gospel is to our own lives, if we don't preach the gospel to ourselves each and every day, then we risk becoming dull of hearing. We risk becoming insensitive to God's Spirit and how He would move us in our lives. We won't hear His voice. And then we drift away from the Lord. That's why in the book of Hebrews, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The writer to the Hebrews was speaking to Christians. And that's, I think, something that should sober us up. That you and I, if we aren't proactive in keeping our faith alive, that we can disappear from our relationship with the Lord, from church. We just kind of fade into the sunset. May the Lord help us to be men and women who love God, who love the gospel, who know its power, and have a passion for it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, what a blessing to learn how to share your word but also a warning for us, Lord, to be careful that we don't let our salvation slip away from us. Father, we don't want to be like Felix. We don't want to develop a hard heart. We don't want our consciences to become hard and insensitive to what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we want to be open to you. So, Father, I pray this morning that there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that perhaps today might be a day when they turn their life over to you. They commit themselves wholeheartedly to your grace. For those of us here who know you, Jesus, pray that your sacrifice on the cross would always be precious to us. It wouldn't be something that we just take for granted. Lord, it's so easy to slip into that sense of, oh gosh, I'm a Christian, I'm just doing my thing. Lord, may you always be dear to our hearts. Keep us close, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Please
amen.
Stand.
Let's stand. Amen. We certainly have seen the love of Jesus on the cross for us. And I pray that the Lord will have ministered to you this morning, that perhaps he's encouraged you to re-examine your life with him, not neglect this great salvation that you and I have. And also know that he loves you. Obviously, he loves you. I mean, all we have to do is look at the cross and just go, wow, I don't get that. Certainly, we sense our unworthiness. We aren't worthy of his grace or his mercy. And yet, he loves us that much that he says, yeah, you know, I don't care how bad you are. I just love you. What a great God we have. He accepts us. He longs to fellowship with us. So I pray that, you know, this week as you go out, that you'd just be overwhelmed by God's great love and grace for you, and that you would walk in that. Turn away from those things that are unrighteous and walk in righteousness, fellowship with the Lord. So the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you. If you'd like prayer for anything, of course, we're up here for you. Otherwise, hang out. Fellowship Hall, I know we've got some goodies down there. So for those of you who are trying to exercise a little self-control, I would stay away. But coffee, fellowship, God bless you guys.